Blog Talk Radio.
Girl, you told me you've been on some positive shit, yeah, yeah. Lately, I just wanna show up and body some shit, yeah, yeah. Always been a little mad petition. Lately, this cash is getting, got me losing count of these bags. I've been moving too fast. Hard. Girl, you told me you've been on some positive shit, yeah, yeah. Lately, I just wanna show up and body some shit, yeah, yeah. Always been a little mad petition. Lately, this cash is getting, got me losing count of these bags. I've been moving too fast. Hard times don't last. Remember when cops are rats talking out my ass. Boy, you ain't shit but a bitch in the back. All my life, they be trying to keep me down. All this time, never thought I'd make it out. No, no. No. All my life, they be trying to keep me down. I decided I had to finish, but the media call me a menace. I just said with the mayor and politicians, I'm trying to change the image. You can't blame my past no more, I come from the trenches. Some said I'd never be a superstar, but I know I'm different. I'm a voice, but the system is giving me a choice. Those are people that still unemployed. I know a fellow who's trying to get void. Child support, your only support. For a visit, I'm going to court. With the jail, they were chaining me up. And you know that I'm famous as fuck. See, how you gonna joke about stimulus? But they really had came in the clutch. I know some kids on the third day. Stop trying to take drugs. I refer to myself. Trying to better myself. Trying to better my health. But all my life, they be trying to keep me down. All this time, thought I'd make it out. No, no. No. All my life, they be trying to keep me down. First generation ghetto nigga, cold world, hello niggas. Made it out of the city with my head on straight. Niggas keep shooting up and let out. Yo, Jordan Peele, gotta get out. The shit that I spit out is a cheat code, like I'm facing a Rico. And how a nigga put a hit out. And another one, and another one. I got like 100 of them about to lap niggas, so they think they're ahead of me. But I'm really in front of them now. Some of them, they bad. Fucking up the little crumbs that they had. A reminder to humble yourself. This shit could be gone in an instant. Me, I'm running long distance. All pistons, fine. I've been stuck between maybe retiring and feeling like something's not hitting my prime. These days, seen rappers be dying way before they even getting they shine. I never even heard of little buddy. So somebody murder little buddy. Now I'm on the phone searching little buddy name. Got a plane of tunes all day in my room. Damn, this shit wicked to get their names buzzing. Some niggas just gotta go lay in a tomb. And media thirsty for clicks. I got a new rule. If you ain't ever posted a rapper when he was alive, you can't post about him after he get hit. It's simple. It's the principle. Run any tempo. I'm invincible. Don't even rap. I just fit to you. I'd rather that than an interview. Most days, fuck them all like I'm going through a whole phase. Young niggas shoot out the whip like road rage. I pray all of my dogs they so paid. And the only thing to kill them is old age. All my life, trying to keep me down. All this time, never thought I'd make it out. No, no. No. All my life, they be trying to keep me down.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk About It All. I know you all could have been anywhere, but today you chose to be here with us, and for that, we appreciate you. Today, on Let's Talk About It All, I have the pleasure to bring to you a young man with an incredible story of depression, self-pity, disappointment, and triumph over unimaginable adversity. His triumph was made possible by the undeniable benefits of faith, blessing, prayer, family unity, and an exemplifying power of a mother's unwavering love for her child. These elements is what helped Andre Williams defy the odds and become the dynamic, extraordinary, amazing young man we have with us today. So, without any further ado, I want to bring Andre on, and I want to, you know, begin the interview with the question of, you know, how, Andre, are you here?
Yeah, okay, bro. How you doing, man? Thank you. Thank you for allowing me, you know, to share my story on your podcast. I appreciate that.
The pleasure's all mine. And I'm pretty sure after everyone hear your story, it'll be the pleasure be all of ours. I want to start with the question of, you know, how did you find out about, you know, contracting the muscular dystrophy? How did you find out what happened that, you know, brought that to your attention? You know, tell the listeners how you found out about that.
Basically, it started when I was 5 years old. I was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. But prior to that, I was never the type of baby that would crawl. I went straight to walking.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay.
You know, at that time, you know, there probably wouldn't raise a red flag. You know, so maybe a yellow flag, but not a red flag, you know?
Absolutely.
I was walking, but I was so easily to fall down. You could fall down a lot. And when I say my mother was a young mother, she was a teenage mother. And she was a baby with a baby. So she relied on other people's insight. So
let me interrupt you. How old was your mother when she had you? Say she was a baby. How old was she?
My mom was 30. She was 13, she got pregnant at 14 when she had me.
Okay. All right.
She turned 14 January 20th. And I was born June 24th.
Okay. All right.
So, as I said, she was taking advice of other people, my cousins, things like that, girlfriends. Yeah, he's a boy. He's just falling down, you know. Boys fall. Yeah. Right. So, but something in her, it just is like, nah, it's not wrong, my baby. I know my baby. So that's when they took me to the doctor, and I got a biopsy, and it came back stating that I had muscular dystrophy.
Okay. Now, can you explain to people who may not know what muscular dystrophy is, to give them an idea of what it, you know, what it entails?
Basically, it's a muscle disease. where the older the lesson get, the weaker they get. The muscle deteriorate. And you can't gain muscle. You can't gain that. And if you really think about it, when I say muscle, your average person going to think about, you know, like your arm muscles, like leg muscles. But I think we forget that your whole body has muscles. Your eyes, your mouth, everything has muscles. So, yeah. You can use your imagination on that one.
Thank God,
you know, that I'm not. I mean, there's people with muscular dystrophy in more bad, more, I don't say more voice, I don't like that word, but in more serious conditions than I am, you know what I'm saying? So I thank God for me being who I am today, you know?
Absolutely. I like to use what Sister Toya used, different abilities, people with more different abilities. You know, I like to use that word for it. You know? Now, you said you were 5 years old when you actually was diagnosed. Okay, give us a rundown on from 5 years old, what started happening after you was diagnosed. Give us a rundown on that.
Oh, man. I mean, first and foremost, a doctor telling a teenage mother that your son has muscular dystrophy and he has until 12 years old to live. That hit hard. I can remember her crying, understanding why she's crying. Just wiping her tears. And she looked at me and said, "You're going to do something special." And it was hard, you know. And so she just lived life, you know. She never babied me. She never made me feel I was disabled. She treated me my mother was more like my sister to me. We got things together. She showed me the ropes. And as I got older, I just started. I would walk, but I would fall down easily. So if you walk past me real fast, like your wind might just like struggle me or something like that. So I transcended into a wheelchair, in and out the wheelchair, until I was like 12. Yeah. And when I turned 12, that was a whole different story right there.
Okay. All right. Now, you reading your book, you had a friend. Tell us about how you met your friend.
Raleigh. Yeah.
Yeah, your best friend. Yeah.
Yeah, Raleigh. I met Raleigh in grammar school. this is before I had the coma, before I was in the coma. I'll tell you about that after this. Andre always been Andre. I always had a persona about myself. And I don't know if that's because my mother pushed that into me or always made me feel like I was somebody. So I was the head guy in charge of the school, you know what I'm saying? So this Caucasian kid comes in the school, long hair, rock star hair, and you know, kind of heavy set. Yo, who's that? I said, girl. Yo, you got a new girl in here? So, you know, it's a classroom bully type thing, you know? I was,
Right. Okay.
And, right. Long story short, I said something to him. He said something back, and he pushed me. And when he pushed me, you know, my disability, I was flying. So I ended up falling down, and he got so scared, and he became my best friend, and he was like, no one touch me. Like, yeah, I mean, my mom couldn't even discipline me in front of him. Like, he would not let anyone touch me, and he stayed my best friend to the day he died.
I read about that, you know, and that's the reason I asked you about it, because I found that, you know, incredible that, you know, from a bully thing, it became, you know, the empathy that and compassion that he grew, you know, that grew from that. And, you know, I found that incredible. I found that, you know, something that we would like to see more of nowadays.
You know? Right.
So I know you said, you know, that your mom, you know, because she treated you in a manner where you didn't have a different ability, it basically inspired you to be who the man you have become today. I also remember reading in your book about something about your grandfather. Tell us about your grandfather and how he and what happened that he how he inspired you during that time.
You want to talk about the only man in my life that ever, the only man in my life I ever had on any type of father, no disrespect to my mom's ex-boyfriend, Charles, you know what I mean, God rest his soul. You know what I mean? He was there for me too. But as far as like that grandfather, that I was just by his side all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, he loved fixing cars. I was always, like one quick story.
Go ahead.
He was fixing a car one day, and I had ended up crawling under the car and fixing something, like tying the screw or something. I just was looking for me, and I'm under the car. Yeah, I'm like 7, 8 years old. It's under the car. They kind of fix the car with my grandfather. And I don't know if he's lying or what, but he turned the key and the car worked. But but yeah, that was a quick story, but like he was really there for me. when he passed away was the beginning of downfall. I remember going to his casket and a truck. And I was carried out the church and I never walked again after that.
Okay. And to solidify a little bit, like, you know, where in your book, tell us how, you know, when you were feeling, you know, down and how some of the conversations that your grandfather had with you. Like, I read in the book a conversation where you had with, you know, his words, his encouragement. So, you know, tell us a little about that part of your grandfather.
The main thing I remember about my grandfather stands out to me is that before he was getting dressed to go to the hospital, the ambulance came to get him, and he was putting on his pants, and he looked me in my eyes and he said, "You make sure you take care of your grandma." And actually, that's the last conversation I have with him. And it's funny, I'm the first one that found out he died. Because the hospital, I ended up calling, and I answered the phone. Yeah. But yeah, that was really the downfall of my health. Because I ended up catching pneumonia, and that ended up putting me into a coma for 10 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. Now, for the listeners, tell us about an incident that occurred prior to you coming out of the coma concerning your grandmother. I read that in your book. I think, you know, that'd be intriguing, you know,
yeah.
what your grandmother did. So I think that'd be intriguing. That's how I kind of put your introduction together, by, you know, based on what I read in the book.
All right, are you here? I'll go there. Okay, look. I don't know what people believe in, you know, 2023. Everyone has their own beliefs and their own way of doing what they do for religion. I have one. And I feel like I have one because of a testimony of my belief. You know, if you know you're in the right religion when you can bear witness of blessings and miracles upon yourself, if it's been done to you. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, as I was saying, I was in a coma for 10 weeks. And the doctors was to the point where actually my mother, you know, to sign off. I'm sure you all know what that means.
I was under the oxygen.
Life support. They also inserted a tracheotomy, which is a trach tube that's inserted into your throat to help you breathe better. So we all know what that is. I'm the OG of that. As far as it came out the way Right now, it's Tommy, you know, but back then, you're talking, phew, man, 38 years ago, you know, so, phew. So, yeah, they ended up telling my mom, you know, it would be no sink, you know. Yeah. So, they called my family to say, you know, goodbye to me or whatever. But the wrong thing that they did is they went to a church to get 70-something, like a 56-year-old woman, evangelist, out of church and tell her to come say goodbye to her favorite grandson. Her favorite person, period, besides God. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you do that. You know what I'm saying? So she ended up coming to the hospital and she asked, can she be alone with me? And she prayed for me from my head to my toes for about an hour and a half, something like that. And it called security, where she going, why she, all that. You know, it's like, my grandma was speaking in tongues, she was crying, she was just trusting that God was in there with her. You know, and she was trying to get his attention for real, for real. And she came out times and she said, please don't do not tonight. So my mom didn't sign it. And 2 days later, a day later, something like that, I knew my fingers, by the end of the week, I was awake.
Okay, that's, I wanted you to, you know, give that to the people. I wanted, you know, I want them to, you know, soak that up because, you know, all the questions I'm asking you, you know, I got from your book. And, What I want to do now, I want to stop you right there, and you know we take a break, we come back, and you know let people ask you some questions. You know if they have some questions about you know what they heard thus far, you get the chance. You know you can also promote your book. You know I just wanted people to you know hear your story. You know just a part of it and. They can read your book and get the rest of it. All right. So without any further ado, my brother Jay Sean, drop a song for us, drop something, you know, and then we'll come back from break. Those of you.
And don't want no time for us in our eyes. You better make a way for the young folks. Yeah. We say yes, we say yes, you say no. We ask you why, and it's so dark. I thought you knew by now, yeah. We can't do that to the young folks. Oh, no.
Everyone, if anyone has some questions about what you heard thus far, press 1, you know, so that, you know, you can ask them some questions. Welcome to Let's Talk About It All, calling you live.
Oh, yeah, this is Jay. What's going on, Dre?
What's up, man?
You know, while we wait for somebody to press 1, I got a question that I wanted to know. Growing up different, but, you know, you're still supreme. But growing up with a disability, when you encounter, like, as a kid, you know, kids could be cruel. They could be cruel when you got all your 5 physical senses and no disabilities. So how did you overcome, like, the innocent cruelty of children? Because I know you had to go through some of that. The taunting, you know, teasing and stuff like that. How did you overcome that, or did you?
You know what? It's the weird things my mom did to me. Like, if we was out, she was, like, really... If people looking at me, she would literally tell me to say, "What the fuck are you looking at?" I know it's not right. I'm not saying that's right. Your child should not curse, but that was the only word I was allowed to say. And you know what? The things, like, sometimes I'll draw to hit my lips, to smack me up. And to, like, do things to me, to my flaws. So I grew up fighting my flaws so much to a point where it's nothing faze me. You know what I'm saying? It has been times that I got bullied. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? At least one kid, I was in school, and he said he was going to hit me, kept threatening me, and my mom came to school, and then said, "You ain't going to do nothing to my grandson. Hit him now, hit him now." So he ran towards me to hit me. You know what I mean? Like, things like that. I had things like that, but I'm trying to check myself safe. A lot of things, you know?
Yeah. So he ran. He ran. Your grandmama, your mom told him to hit you, and he ran and hit you.
Yeah, he ran to hit me, but then he didn't get to me.
I wonder where he at now.
I had more fights with other disabled people than I had real people. No, I'm not even exaggerating. Like, for real. Shout out my man CJ. What's up, man?
You got another.
We got another call on the line. Welcome to Let's Talk About It All. Calling you live.
This is Miles. Assalamu alaikum, Sadiq.
Alaykum salam. How are you, Miles?
I'm doing. Dre.
What's up, man?
You know I like to pick with you anyway, but listen, from listening to you, man, as you was coming up, you ever thought that, you know, maybe you wish you wasn't born or that when it, you know, you really didn't want to go through all that, and you just wish that you was like, you know, ever thought suicide or anything like that? Because, you know, from what I heard, man, that was, you had a rough.
You're right. My mom and my grandmother, great grandmother, like, they gave me everything I wanted. Like, I had my own room, I had video games. Like, they gave me everything a kid would want. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I just dealt with it. I mean, when you're a kid, you don't know life. So you don't know if this is not right. You don't know this is not. I don't know how you feel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I never thought that. I just was just, okay, you're dealing with it. Like, you're just dealing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've been hurt into a cycle over relationships more than my situation.
Oh, okay.
That may sound crazy.
Well, you're just strong, bro.
No. No, that don't sound crazy. What about your great grandfather? What kind of stories do you have about your great grandfather?
Well, that's actually who my grandfather was.
Well, you had a good support team, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there who go through that. Their family don't give them that kind of attention.
My grandfather, you know, I have a grandfather, but he wasn't. He was in my life, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he was big in Patterson. He was Woolly Boy. Yeah, he was famous out there. You know what I mean? God bless him. I mean, he passed away a couple of years ago. But, like, my great-grandfather, that was the one I was talking about in the book.
In the book, okay.
He was big on parenting?
Yeah.
All right. God bless you, my brother.
Yeah. Based on what you said in the book, your grandfather was really inspirational and your emotional stability. You know, based on what I read in the book, he was real inspirational in that aspect. When he was, you know, like what Miles was saying, when you were feeling, you know, a little down, he, you know, said things to lift you up, and you know, that was inspiring.
Yeah.
You know,
That's true.
But now, let's talk about your skills now. Let's talk about what you have to offer now, being that you basically defied the odds and You are living, walking, breathing miracle. Let's talk about the things you do now, as far as, you know, what type of things you do to, you know, as far as business. You know, what type of things you do in that aspect?
But before I jump into that, let me just say, you know, I wouldn't be who I am to not set up my kids. You know what I'm saying? Andrea, Jalen, Raymond, Taylor, Andre Jr. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love y'all, and no doubt you're doing this for y'all always. Right now I'm doing, man, it's a whole list of things I do. I have a clothing line. I have an editing company. And t-shirt company. Podcast. Co-writer with K-Song. Like, writing movies and do. Man, I just do everything, man. I just say anything you need. I got you.
Music.
Yeah, music. It's about that, yeah.
I want people to understand, you know. Go ahead.
Sha.
Go ahead, Jim. What's up?
I ask him one more thing.
Go ahead. Feel free. Go ahead.
About 10 years ago, 10 years ago, really, I believe, 10 years ago to last month, I like to think of it as like a angel in disguise or something like that or whatever, something that when something happened to somebody's life and it's like a life changer. Shadi was speaking about the book and everything and all that. And the book is a good book and everything, but what has having your life story written in a book, how have that changed your life? A book that has been written and sold thousands and hundreds of copies. What has that done for you all around? Now, I'm not really talking about financially. I'm talking about in all other ways. Because, I don't know, the state of mind you was in before you had the book and things that was going on. How has the Andre Williams story, how has that changed your life? Or if it did,
put me in a position where at the end of the day, my children may say my daddy is somebody. My children can see the hunger and the willpower and self-determination that it takes to survive. And before I leave here, I want to make sure I have a financial stability for my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything I do for my videos, for my music, the book takes fancy. Yeah, it's fancy.
I hear you.
You really are a Renaissance man.
You know, Dre, the fact that what you're doing now, you got people who are well off than you ain't doing a damn thing. Just sitting around, talking junk, ain't doing nothing. But the fact that you're doing what you're doing for your family, That shows value, man. And we got guys out here healthy as a horse, don't do a damn thing for their pimp.
I mean, if I was just sitting in your house all day, I don't want to. I have to.
Exactly. We always say, people, you know, being that I'm blind too, we always say that I have a disability, but a disability don't have me.
Yeah.
We don't let it stop us from doing what we could do.
Sometimes you forget, like, I kind of forget about, kind of not think about it. Like I said, when you've been a certain way and you don't know how the other side feels, just living, I'm living.
Yeah, as long as the breath in your body, keep it moving.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, basically you, Miles, and, you know, Leon, the pastor, you guys are like, you know, it's remarkable because we don't, oftentimes, many of us don't really realize how powerful the spirit is. The inner being, we don't realize how powerful that is. And that's, you know, that's your true power. Your true power is what's inside of you that drives you every single day to do what you're doing. And many of us are so caught up on our outside and our physical to where we don't even strengthen that spiritual aspect about us that drives us, that has limitless capabilities, because basically you exemplify that with your life. You exemplify the power of the spirit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, mm-hmm. I'm in awe with you, you know? So, you know, it was, you know, my pleasure to get you on the show.
Hey, let me just say one more thing to go back to what Jay had. Go back to what Jay had asked me. There's one more thing that book has given me. It gives me insight into other people's lives. Sometimes when I celebrate all of them, but a lot of them open up to me, and when I see them, they can be beautiful. They can be, you know, well-dressed men, you know what I'm saying? A little bit. And you don't see their problems until they open their mouth and open their heart and they talk to you. And they tell you what they've been through, what they came through, what they've gone through currently. You know what I'm saying? Hurt don't have, you can't see hurt. You can't see hurt. Okay, let me take that back. You can't see hurt. But you can't see hurt through the tether. It's when someone covers it. You know what I'm saying? You saw me, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, you're speaking about pain and how people cope with pain, and you can, and they look one way on the outside just by you looking at them. You have no idea that they're going through the pain or they went through the things that they went through. That's basically what you're
saying.
Okay?
Right. And it's like that's what that book has given me. It gives me insight. And some people. Sometimes I meet real genuine people. You know what I'm saying? And that's a blessing. And I'm thankful for that. Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
See, Dre, I got a I'm into active for people with disability over here in Jersey, and I got a partner who got CP. You know, and you'd be amazed for the things he do. He travel. He do all kinds. I call him my information center guy because we do things together. We put information out. We run meetings. We go to meetings. I'm on a couple of council boards of council for people with disability, and he my right hand. And everybody, you know, when they see him, they didn't realize who he was until he showed up. Now he walk, you know, he can't walk, but he got these, you know, he used these sticks. He got to slide himself across, you know, when he walk.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
I have a friend like that.
Yeah, but see, when they see how he, you know, the way he do the things he do, they sit back in awe because they don't, because when they look at people with disability, they assume we can't do anything. You know, because like in the business, like in politician, they throw us on the back burner anyway. So when we go out there and do what we do, people don't, you know, it's like they don't believe what they're seeing. I tell them straight, I said, look, I got to keep on living. I'm not going to be one of them guys you put in the corner and leave there. I'm not doing that. And he's not like that, too. Now, he live in North. You know, they're half North. They want to make a statue for this guy, Shy D. Because
yeah,
he helped.
What did you say you had?
He got CP.
What is it? Oh, okay.
He got cerebral palsy. His name is Tyrone. He's from North. Okay. Right. One day I'm going to bring him on your show, let you talk to him, man, because he's an incredible dude,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It's amazing the stuff he do.
Yeah, give me a heads up, and we can set that up. I'm going to want to have you on the show and tell your story. You know, we're going to set that up so you can tell your story, you know, because it's imperative that we, you know, being a people who just from our skin color in this country being,
right,
you know, labeled and being, you know, placed in a position where, you know, people look at you differently. So add that on top of, you know, having a different ability and along with the skin color. So it's, you know, I personally can't even imagine, you know, but
okay. Yeah.
Like I said, it's, you know, like you said, many people look at, you know, people with different abilities as I think we, you know, as people who supposedly be what they consider normal, because really, what is normal? You know, when we really examine normal, so what is normal? So, you know, but what they consider normal, you know, we've been looked at, you know, you'd be looked at as having limits. And, you know, you guys prove that the limits is what you place on yourselves, you know. So anytime we have limits, we place them on ourselves by the way that we think and the way that we process things and the actions we take towards making things happen. You guys show that. So,
right,
you know, it's an honor for me to, it's an honor for me to have you guys all to inspire all of us. You guys are inspiration to all of us. And if you're not, you should be for those, if you're not inspiring others, you should be, in my personal opinion.
You know how many people who just said what you said and you know, that cited and normal, like, they would always sit there, even when at meetings, we'd be at meetings and stuff, they'll say, what is normal? That's what they always say, what is normal? They see a guy with a disability, they say, is I'm more normal than he is, or is he more, what is normal? That's what they always say, that question. They always ask that question.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad
because,
you brought
you
that
know,
up. We hear it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah, so that's why, you know, like Toya said, different abilities. You guys
exactly.
have different abilities. I like that word. I like using that word, you know. But we're getting close to our ending time. Dre, tell the people where they can get your book from, you know, give them your information about the book, you know, so that they can go purchase it.
Y'all know the name, Andre Williams. So go on Amazon, type in the Andre Williams story, written by Randy Jason Jackson. Available right now, also available on Kindle. There you go, spend the $14, just spend $4.99, get it right now. Just hit the button, get it right now. I'm not waiting for nothing at all. So, also, check me out Monday night. 8:30.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Monday night, Dad. Hey, Dre, man, your last name, you better not be my cousin or one of my brothers out there, man, because my last name William too. You know how they was to D. You know how pops in the world was back in the day. Got 30, 40 kids all over the state of New Jersey.
Yeah, well, I mean, in 10 years, you didn't have them cell phones that could get you caught up like you could get caught up.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Yo, I remember, we had to run to the corner to use the phone booth if you ain't got a phone in the house.
Me and my first baby mother, man. I just had a pay phone line to 3 a.m, man.
Damn.
And I'm making a project. Yep. It's 3 a.m. Hey, are you crazy? Hey, I'm dead.
3 a.m.
Before we end, do anybody got any questions, any statements, any comments before we end? Press 1. If not, we're going to end. You know, and I'd like to thank you all for taking the time, you know, to spend this time with us. Special thanks to my brother Jay Sean for handling the production side. I would like to ask everybody to tune in every Monday to Humble X Visions from 8:30 to 9:15. Tune in every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. to the Lisa Experience. Tune in every Friday to Keeping It Real from 8 to 10 p.m. Tune in every Sunday to Point of Impact from 7 to 8 p.m. Also tune in to Grown Folks Talking by dialing 520-525-8633. That's 520-525-8633. And for those, you know, of you who check my YouTube page, we got some new content up there, and we're going to have some more new content. Go up there and check out the content. And if you would like to subscribe, which I urge you to, it's at ANDREHILL, the number 9. That's at ANDREHILL, the number 9. I pray to the Creator of all in existence that He touch every heart and renew every mind who hears the vibrations of my voice, so that our hearts, minds, and souls will come together and function as though we are one body. I pray that He bless each and every one of us with the spirit of unity, forgiveness, and with the ability to put aside our differences so that we can work together towards making the much-needed changes within ourselves and within our community. for the sake of present and future generations. I pray with all of my heart that our Creator has planted something incredible within each and every one of us that we will carry with us and share with others from this day forward. Anything that I said that was insightful and helpful came from Allah. Anything that I said that was unclear or confusing came from me, and I ask for your forgiveness. In closing, don't forget to reach out to someone whom you love or care about just to see how they're doing or if they're okay. With that being said, may all of you be inspired and motivated to begin your journey, towards a higher level of thinking and self-evaluation. To our next encounter, have a great night. I love you all like I love myself. Bring in the music, Jay.
Shaw, you got one more caller, Shaw. You want to take it?
Yeah. We'll take it.
Hold on. 5885, you live. 5885.
Hey, Sandy.
That's Miss Miller.
Hey, Toya.
I hope all is well. Okay, I caught the end of it. I said, let me get on. And I got to show my support. I said, let me get on.
Okay, we appreciate it.
But I'm just getting on. I'm just coming in. So I was like, let me get on. Let me dial in. Yes.
Oh, I hope all is well. Okay.
For the end of it, it sounded like it was a good show for the end of it.
Yeah. Basically, we was interviewing Andre Williams' story. We were basically interviewing him. You know,
okay.
So that's what it was about. You know.
Okay.
But we're glad to have you as always, Toya.
Oh yes.
Hopefully next week you can catch us a little earlier and get a little more info.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm glad I was able to get on to say hello. I hope everyone enjoy the rest of their evening and have a happy holiday.
And we wish the same to you.
Yo, D, I want to thank you again for last Thursday, man.
Yeah, no problem. It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure, brother.
Good night, Dre.
Yeah, good night.
what they'll do, although we're not together.
Thank you.